Hi, Randy. I'm Cole. My question for you today is, you've written over 50 books, and it's overwhelming for me to want to read those. What three books would you say have the most wisdom that would create a Christ-centered framework for one's life? Or another way of saying that, like, what books would you give to a college student?
Good question. And we're at, I think, 62 or 63 books now, so that makes it even worse. But I would say I have a small book called The Grace and Truth Paradox, and that book I think has a lot in it. It basically takes, there's the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, but we can't wrap our minds around nine things at once. What I love about Jesus came full of grace and truth, which it says in John 1:14, is that that's like a 2-point checklist of Christlikeness. And I love that. Are you full of grace and full of truth? Now, it's not choosing between grace and truth, and that's what tons of people are doing. In times past, there's a lot of people that they've just been truth people, and grace is kind of foreign to them, but they hold staunchly to the truth. But then the overreaction to that has been, oh yeah, let's be all about grace. So that's all we're talking about, and we have ignored truth. And that actually ultimately is not gracious to people, because it leaves them without the moorings and the foundations and all that. So I would say the Grace and Truth Paradox, and probably one of my heaven books, either the Big Heaven Book, or 50 Days of Heaven. And that's a devotional that really takes you through, but it also takes, I took the most, what I thought were the most important parts of the Heaven Book, and then put them in this smaller book. And now a lot of people still like the Big Heaven Book. That sold way more than the other Heaven books have. But I think 50 Days of Heaven. And then I would say something I've written on the problem of evil and suffering. And for that, you could go with 90 Days of God's Goodness, or The Goodness of God. And I have a few other things on the problem of evil and suffering, or the really big one, which is called If God Is Good. And that deals in detail with the problem of evil and suffering. And of course, I solved that problem, so nobody has to write any more on it ever. No, that was a huge, huge task. And but I was pleased with the results and people's responses. And though you asked for three, because another major area that I've dealt with is happiness. And I've got a big book on happiness, and also smaller books, one of which I would highly recommend, called Does God Want Us to Be Happy? There is a mythology related to this in the some parts of the Christian world, and some places it's very, very strong, which is God doesn't care about our happiness. He only cares about our holiness. That's a pretty close to a quote from Oswald Chambers, a great Christian writer who wrote My Utmost for His Highest. Wonderful, wonderful man. But I think he did a disservice to the church, which was very unintentional, when he said God doesn't care about our happiness. He only cares about our holiness. Because I think it would be much better said, we will not experience the happiness God desires for us without the holiness He desires for us. We don't want to. For too long, I think churches have sent out the message, well, God doesn't care whether you're happy or not. Well, that's strange, because I don't know if some of you in the room, have kids, but you certainly know people who have kids, including your parents. Would any parent not want their child to be happy? Of course we want. Of course God wants his children to be happy. He just wants us to be looking for and finding happiness in the right places, not the wrong ones. Don't spend your life trying to find happiness in sin. Number one, it's not going to work. It just simply will not work. Number two, even if it did work, it would be wrong and dishonoring to God. So find your joy in Jesus.